This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, thanks as always for your time.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, throughout the past several weeks, I asked you to predict and look into the future and see who would win these key races in the 2009 election cycle, two governor's races, the mayor's race in New York City, as well as two congressional races. Let's start with the governor's races, which clearly went the way of the Republicans. A landslide win for Bob McDonnell over Creed Deeds in Virginia by 18 points. And a surprise to some, but not you, John, Chris Christie, the Republican, defeats Democratic incumbent John Corzine in New Jersey. You were 2 for 2 there. How did Republicans get it done?
Well, all politics are local, the late Speaker Tip O'Neill once said. And in Virginia, Bob McDonnell was just a first-class candidate. He ran on the issue of cutting taxes, no new taxes, and Bob's for jobs. In other words, ending regulation to attract more business to a state that has higher unemployment than the national average. In so doing, he never backed down from his views in being pro-life and for marriage as a union between a man and a woman. His opponent, and even Republicans will admit this, never really took off until 6 weeks after he won a very difficult primary over two other Democrats. Creed Deeds was very vague about his plan for solving transportation problems in Northern Virginia. He never could quite rule out a tax increase. And for someone considered a centrist, he, like many national Democrats, changed on the issue of gay marriage from opposing it to supporting it. In the end, that and the televised debates were enough to give Bob McDonnell the biggest, most lopsided win of any governor of the Old Dominion since 1961, and as well to bring in Republicans running for lieutenant governor, attorney general, and make a net gain of 5 seats in the state House of Delegates. I wouldn't call it a clean sweep. I'd call it an avalanche.
John, New Jersey was obviously closer, but some thought that the president's last-minute push for John Corzine might put him over the top. Corzine clearly and vastly outspent the Republican Chris Christie, but in the end, we knew pretty early that it was Christie. Was it just people fed up with John Corzine, or is there actually a message to the president in all of this?
Well, the president did go all out and frankly did a lot more to help John Corzine than he did Creed Deeds. That said, John Corzine had dramatically increased the role of government and the taxes in the Garden State at a time the economy is bad. Even unbiased experts such as Michael Barone of U.S. News and World Report agreed that Chris Christie ran a lousy campaign. Yet he was just the alternative to Mr. Corzine in a state that has had its problems with corruption by public officials. The former federal prosecutor seemed the epitome of honesty. That was enough to finally defeat John Corzine. Independent candidate Chris Daggett, it was felt, would siphon more votes away from Christie than Corzine, but he faded very quickly in the end. I believe he was under 5% of the vote. And one can thank someone who launched an attack on him in the end and questioned his ethics and truth-telling, Sarah Palin.
John, the one race you got wrong, although it looked like you were going to be right, is the congressional race in New York's 23rd district. And that, of course, was where the Democrat Bill Owens won the seat for the Democrats for the first time since Reconstruction. The Republican candidate was deeply flawed in the minds of many conservatives. Didi Scozzafava actually dropped out a couple days before the election, endorsed the Democrat. Many thought conservative Doug Hoffman would be able to pull it off. In the end, he lost by 2 to 3 points. The national media is saying this shows the Republican Party is fractured. They're on a purging campaign of moderates, and that this could actually bode very poorly for the party when they have a great opportunity to win with more moderate candidates next year. How do you read it?
Can we stay on until breakfast tomorrow? That takes so long to explain. Where do we start? Didi Scozzafava was someone who was beyond the pale in her own party, and indeed more liberal than the Democrat who ran. She favored same-sex marriage. Democrat Bill Owens opposed it. She was also pro-abortion, pro-card check, supporting the AFL-CIO's cherished initiative, and favored the stimulus package. In the end, she showed her true colors when, after suspending her campaign and freeing up Republicans, including her own campaign press secretary, to help Doug Hoffman, Dee Dee went Democratic and endorsed Owens. She batted for the other side. I think that speaks for itself right there. But she was on the ballot and wound up getting 6% of the vote. Doug Hoffman lost by a margin of 48 to 46%. I talked to people in the campaign that evening, just as Hoffman was conceding. Union members, as well as people from Acorn, were paid and on the ground, paid volunteers, sort of like AmeriCorps, and that just trumped the volunteers from the Tea Party movement and others who came in to canvass for Hoffman. Once again, Americans are geared toward two parties, Republican and Democrat, and it is very difficult sometimes to get people to vote for someone who is neither, which is what Doug Hoffman was. That said, with his performance, he should be saluted.
John, let's quickly move back to the city. New York City, Michael Bloomberg wins a third term, but it was a whole lot closer than anyone expected. Why?
I'd hate to do a cost-benefit ratio on that. When all of the figures are in, it is expected that the mayor will set a new record of $150 million of his own money spent on the race. Even John Corzine in New Jersey, a former CEO of Goldman Sachs, spent $130 million, but that was on three statewide races. I think with Mayor Bloomberg, there always is the being tired of incumbents when they've been around too long. But more than that, the mayor and many members of the city council overturned an initiative voters had passed in 1993, limiting the mayor and council members to two terms. This is something that still packs a wallop politically, and Mayor Bloomberg managed to win, but barely, over Comptroller Bill Thompson, who spent only $6 million. I might add that three Democrats who voted to change the term limit law lost the primary, and the Speaker of the Council, Christine Quinn, was barely renominated in the primary. Voters don't like it when they say something and politicians say, well, let's do it another way.
John, now just a couple minutes left here. We expect a vote on the House health care bill, the one Nancy Pelosi unveiled to the nation last week. Its price tag is ever fluctuating, but it appears to be north of a trillion anyway. Are the votes there to pass it?
No. The fact that it does not have tort reform in it and no limits on damages is going to make a lot of members of Congress on the Democratic side think twice about it. In addition, just the very fact that there are these figures and that public option is becoming synonymous for government-run health care, which it is got to make many of the blue dogs, from Oklahoma's David Boren to Michigan's Bart Stupak, someone very nervous about the way he can't get his ban on federal funding for abortion in the health care measure even voted on. That's got to turn them off. There are a cacophony of arguments against public option that will bring enough Democrats to defeat it. Now, that said, Speaker Pelosi, like Speaker Hastert before, can keep the voting open as long as she wants. She could keep everybody up for what they call extra innings on Capitol Hill. But I just don't think the sentiment is there. And with election coming up and with the results from New Jersey and Virginia, Democrats are going to have some sleepless nights before they vote for public option.
Last 30 seconds, John. There was a very special tribute issue of Human Events last week, and it was honoring your 30 years of service at America's National Conservative Weekly. I'm sure the years feel like they've flown by. What do you have to say after 30 years on the job here in D.C.?
Bring on the 40th. And I don't know if I'll still be vibrant enough for 50. There's still a part of me that says reporters should have term limits themselves just to be fresh. But all in all, I have to say, not many people can say they went to work every single day and just couldn't wait to hit the ground running. And going back to the days when I wrote stories on a manual typewriter and smoked three packs of Camels a day and didn't own a suit, that's the way I felt about my work. Well, all those things have changed, and I still enjoy it, and I look forward to it. And the late Gary Cooper once said about acting, the proudest achievement of my career are the friends I've made in this community. I couldn't say it better.
John, well, congratulations to you. We look forward to many more successful years out of you in the years to come. Thanks, as always, for your time this week.
getting ready for 40, 50, and maybe 100, and feeling like the Yankees did last night. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.